Welcome to our worship today. Thank you for joining us on our journey through Advent. This season reshapes itself around the long and deep promise that is God. From ancient times, the echo of the story has haunted our world, reinventing itself, finding a way to bring hope in every age. And we hear it still, whispered through the air, in the hope and expectation of what is to come. Well, the overall theme of Advent is the coming of the light of understanding, the light of love, all wrapped up in the coming of Jesus, who came to enlighten mankind through the love of God. Our candles represent hope, peace, joy, and love. And so let's pray. Father God, we come to you looking for hope when everything else we rely on fails us. Our only hope is in you. When we do not understand what has happened, we hope in you. We can hope for better days because we trust you. We know you, and we know you are here with us no matter what we are facing. Some of us see darkness only at this time of the year, and some of us find life overwhelming. Some of us are filled with Advent joy. So wherever we find ourselves today, loving God, remind us that our hope is in you. Be with us on this journey. And so we light the candle of hope. But this second week of Advent, we focus on peace. In John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And so we have our candles of hope and peace burning. Let us pray. Prince of Peace, reveal yourself to us today. We need peace in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our churches, and in our whole world. Help us to slow down and seek out the peace that you provide, so we may become peacemakers for ourselves and for others. In your name we pray, Prince of Peace. Amen. Pray. God of majesty and power, who spoke and this world was made, who breathed and this world lived, who sees our thoughts and reads our hearts, who loves us more than we deserve, how can we not bring you our sacrifice of praise? For in the long-awaited child at Bethlehem lies the promise of deep love. Love so deep that he would live among us, die for us, and yet be ever present with us, offering the promise of an eternity in which to praise you more each day. God of hope, God of peace, God of promise, we praise your name. And to you, O Lord, we bring our lives. Troubled, broken, or at ease. A sacrificial offering for you to use. Take away our selfishness. And teach us to love as you loved. Take away our sense of pride and show us the meaning of humility. Take away our blindness and show us the world through your eyes. Take away our greed and teach us how to give as you gave. Show us your ways, teach us your paths, that we might walk with you more closely, our hand in your hand, our feet in your footsteps, from the baby in a stable to eternity. Amen.
Our first reading today is taken from Joshua chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, you may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up onto the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Amen. Our second reading today is taken from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Amen, and thanks be to God for the readings today.
This week, we have heard that 50%, less than 50% of the population of England and Wales would describe themselves as Christian. This is based on the census which was taken recently, and Scotland deferred their census due to COVID, so we will probably get those results next year. So, as we journey through Advent, we are being told that fewer and fewer people identify with Christianity. This might be the time to meditate and pray and think about this specifically, and in particular, look for guidance as to what we can do about it. Well, my reflection today has two strands. One is thinking about Advent and all that it means and all that it's meant over the years and what it will mean for the future. And the second is looking at some of the qualities of those people who've been the stepping stones in the development of the faith we have today. At this time in Advent, the stories about some of the women who appear both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament feature in our narrative. And today we've heard about three women, Rahab, Elizabeth, and Mary. There clearly had to be women in the lineage of Jesus, and a few women are specifically mentioned in the ancestry of Jesus. So why are these three specifically mentioned? The cultural constraints of all the Old Testament tribes, or the tribes in the Old Testament times, not just specifically the Jews, meant that women were expected to behave and have a particular role within a framework in their society. Jewish law carried with it a framework through which it was thought that women and vulnerable people would be cared for and not allowed to become destitute. Women were cared for firstly by their fathers and then their husband's family. Well, that would seem fairly straightforward and just, and the intention was ideal. And within this construct, it should have worked. Everybody looking after everyone else or each other. Step outside this construct, or if the rules were not applied, and we know that life, for women and children particularly, was far from easy. But we just need to listen to the news or watch the news, and we see that this still is the case in some areas of the world and indeed in our own country. Well, Rahab, in the story we've heard today, is described as a prostitute, probably because she lived outside the normal parameters of how the Jewish law thought a woman should live, married and producing children. Remember that the Old Testament is Jewish in origin, but Rahab was a Canaanite and was not Jewish. How else was she to be surviving if she wasn't abiding by the rules? Well, we are told that she was an innkeeper. And listening to the story we've heard in Joshua, we learn that she's quite an astute woman. In her agreement with the spies which come to her house, she's very clever, not just for herself, but her family as well. She has had to fend for herself and her family, and from the terms of the agreement which she made with the spies, it would appear that her family would listen and obey her when she told them what they should do to avoid being killed. She doesn't believe in the Jewish God, but she has heard how he has looked after his Jewish people, the people who believe in him. And clearly she is open to considering that that is the sort of care that she could relate to. In the lineage of Jesus, we learn that she was the mother of Boaz, and so maybe we can learn more or deduce more or devise more about Rahab when we look at how her son behaved. His care and consideration for the vulnerable, which included the widowed Ruth, whom he later married. Rahab been labelled with a derogatory label, and she behaved in a way which would have given rise to comment in the Jewish community. But remember, Rahab was a Canaanite and not Jewish. She ran a business and she cared for her family. Her resilience and sense of responsibility meant that her family survived, and they would not probably have seen the prostitute label or understood it. They would have seen someone who fed them and looked after them and invested in them a huge amount of love, responsibility, and sense of values. But she could also be seen as a traitor to her own people, putting her firmly in a very uncomfortable position. Now, Mary and Elizabeth, the story in the New Testament, were Jewish, and they lived within this framework. And then both of them, plus their husbands, are faced with a situation which would seem alien to them, in which the rules of the time could not have prepared them. Elizabeth thought she was too old to have a baby, and yet she is carrying a baby who she has been told is destined to be the herald of the Messiah. She and Zachariah will have to put up with many comments. Her husband had been struck dumb. How does Elizabeth explain that? What on earth was happening? You could just imagine the gossip. Mary, unmarried, is told by an angel that she would have a baby who would be essential, important, God's son, not to be hidden, not to be denied as many babies out of wedlock would have been. And it was vital that Joseph would also play his part in continuing to look after Mary. They are in a very uncomfortable place, outside the norms of the day and the law of the day. As we look back over the lineage of Jesus, we look back over complex patterns of life stretching out over hundreds of years, from Abraham right down through to Jesus. If someone does not play their part, if the chain is broken, the whole thing falls and a different way would have to be found. People who had been asked to step outside the comfort of normality and accepted practice had done just that, thinking beyond themselves and obeying the messages and the prompts they had received from God and his messengers. And so we are here in 2022, at the time of Advent again, as we celebrate and look forward to the coming of the commemoration of the birth of Jesus, and with that birth and the beginning of the new church year. We look forward to taking the message he brought onwards and asking, in the view of that census, how do we do that? With the coming of Jesus, the covenant with God changed from a covenant with a particular race of people to a covenant with those who are related through faith, irrespective of race. Kingdom values replaced laws and rules, or should do. Rules and laws still get in the way from time to time. And in our Advent wreath, we remind ourselves of some of the qualities which Jesus brought with him. We have hope, we have peace, we have joy, and we have love. And during Advent, we talk about light. We light the Advent candles as we've done earlier. It's dark and we need our lights in the house on earlier and for longer. Carol services involve light. We can feel the oppression and draining feeling of the lack of light. Days are short. We search for the light which will enlighten us, and then we need the confidence to follow that light. And when we see that light, we must trust it. And that trust, which is associated with hope and peace and joy and love. As I thought about the challenge of following the light, it reminded me of a holiday which my husband and I, Ken, and I had last year. We were on the Leeds-Liverpool canal in a barge, or in a canal boat rather, and we wanted to go through a tunnel, a foul bridge tunnel. And it's nearly a mile long and it goes through a hillside. An enormous amount of work by navvies years ago who did much of the excavation by hand. And the walls of the locks as you go through them are engineering feats, and various bodies struggle to maintain them today. So often there are areas where you can't go. Why, you might ask, did they do this enormous amount of back-breaking work, hard working conditions involving injuries and deaths? Why? To get to the place where they wanted to be, so that the barges could get the goods through to the towns and villages or collect them where they needed to be. And so the tunnel was excavated to enable a journey to the other side. As you enter the tunnel, there's a traffic light system because there's not space for two boats to pass, one in each direction. It's pitch black. I was driving at the back of the boat, which was 44 feet long. Ken was sitting at the front with a torch to light up the odd sign that was on the wall of the tunnel to say how far we had to go or how far we had come. Travelling slowly at 3 miles per hour, it would take 20 minutes to get through the tunnel. It was fairly straight, not quite straight, fairly straight. And so from the beginning, once my eyes got used to the dark, I could see a tiny pinpoint of light, which was the exit of the tunnel a mile away. There was the odd bump as the tunnel bent a bit and I had to manoeuvre around. The tunnel had occasional air vents up to the surface, which let a shaft of light down into the tunnel, and water collected on the roof of the tunnel, resulting in the occasional watery deluge round down your back, which was a bit of a shock and a bit distracting. The shafts of the light from the vents confused my vision, and so I would have to stop and refocus on the pinpoint, tiny pinpoint of light at the end of the tunnel again. From time to time, I had to slow right down and adjust the direction of the boat because I'd moved away from aiming for the light. As we moved along, the light got brighter and brighter and bigger and bigger. We were coming to the end of the tunnel until eventually we came out into sunlight. I hadn't realised that the concentration involved in just directing the boat would take as much energy as it did. But as we came out into the sunlight, I found that I was really quite tense and tired. A mile, looking forward, keeping focused on the light. A 20-minute journey, aiming for the light. Well, our journey as a church is longer than a mile and will take longer than 20 minutes. But just as the tunnel had been dug by the navvies, knowing the most direct route, the direct path from one place to another, God has a path in front of us which we need to follow. We might have the odd bump when we get round the corner. We might have the odd shower of cold water, which will give us a bit of a shock. But if we keep our eye on the light at the end of the tunnel, we will get there. But remember, the journey we anticipate and are familiar with is not necessarily the journey God has planned for us. And there will be times when we are in uncomfortable places. Stepping outside the norm is what is expected, just as Rahab, Mary and Elizabeth, Joseph and Zechariah did as they followed God's prompt.
Let us pray. For your word which endures, we give you thanks. For your promises to which we hold, we give you thanks. For such closeness with you, we give you thanks. For the love which from our birth over and around us lies, we give you thanks. For the means to gather here online, we give you thanks. For the hope that lives each Advent, we give you thanks. Loving Father, on this, the second Sunday of Advent, as we watch the candles of hope and peace, we sing with joy in anticipation of the coming of your Son. We pray for your church throughout the world. May we proclaim the gospel message of hope, peace, joy, and love this Advent and always. We remember especially those who proclaim this message in difficult and dangerous circumstances, those who are persecuted for their faith, those who minister in war zones, those who travel great distances to share or to hear the gospel message. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world, a wounded world, so badly in need of healing. We pray that all will respect and honour your creation, and that the words of the climate and environment conferences will result in actions. We pray for all who work for peace and justice in our world, remembering those who fearlessly speak out for freedom, democracy, and justice. We pray for all who are affected by war and injustice. May they know that you walk with them and care for them. We remember all on the margins of society, despised by many, but loved by you. May we reach out to include all in your body, the Church. May we offer friendship, comfort, and hope. We pray for all who lead the nations of the world and for all in authority. Restore dreams of justice and truth and a passion for what is good and right, that your just and gentle rule may be established throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who suffer, the sick, in body, mind, or spirit, the hungry, the cold, the homeless, the unemployed, all struggling to cope with rising costs. Those who think there is no one to love or care for them, the bereaved. And in a few moments of silence, we bring before God people, places, or events that have touched our hearts this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your body, may we bring your love and compassion to others, that they may find comfort and peace in your encircling arms, and hope will be rekindled. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Generous God, you created life in all its wonderful diversity. In your image, you created humanity. Jesus came into the world to reveal the extent of your love for us and to offer us a full relationship with you. Today we come before you in humble adoration and offer our gifts to you. Use the money we bring to continue to build your kingdom here and now. Receive our service, take and use our talents and time as you guide us to continue building your kingdom here and now. And let's join together in the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Thank you for joining in our worship today. The shepherd followed the light of the star, as did the wise men. Let us, as we see the way forward, let us have trust and faith to follow the light which is beckoning us forward. Help us to avoid distractions, but keep going towards that light which we know is our goal. And as we go, we pray that we go with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Shine upon you and give you peace and give you peace. shine upon you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you.